We are in the book of Titus in our series entitled From Forgiveness to Faithfulness. We're in the book of Titus, this being Sunday, March the 13th, 2022. We are going to try to finish this fourth lesson on a godly lifestyle. A godly lifestyle. We need today to have folks that name the name of Christ, we need to have them living a godly lifestyle. Sad to say today, the world has gotten so churchy and the churches have gotten so worldly, you can't tell the two apart. You cannot tell the two apart. And there ought to be some distinction between the two. And you know what? That comes from individuals who love the Lord enough to live for Him, to serve Him no matter what. Don't compromise. Don't give up Bible convictions. Don't give those things up. They may try to take them from you, but let them try. That's up to them. But don't you give it up. And last week we looked at this lesson. We began looking at it. Titus chapter number 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 this morning. And in your bulletin this morning, you're going to see basically the same outline. I had the same outline there, but I've got some other things I wanted to cover with you. We got down through this last week. We talked about the relationship of behavior to belief. We spoke to you about the regulations for godly behavior. What should we be doing as we behave godly? And how should that be in our lives? We talked last week about the aged men. Now, that does not mean just the old men, but that means that speaking of those that have matured in the Lord. They've been saved a while. They know from experience what God can do for them. And they're trying to encourage others to see what God could do for them. And we had to stop there last week with the aged man. And we found out how that those things that were spoken of there relate to so many other areas in our life today as well. So today, we begin our lesson today with the aged women, okay? All right? Now, I know that none of you ladies like to be spoken of like that, you know. All right? But we're looking for the spiritually mature women, okay? Let's put it that way, okay? All right? We're looking at the spiritually mature women. And I want you to look here in our lesson today, beginning here in Titus chapter 2. We're going to start here. I'm just going to start in verse 1, and the lesson picks up in verse number 3, okay? So let's just read the verses. But speak thou, this is Paul exhorting Titus as he is pastoring this group of Cretan believers. And he's trying to teach them how they ought to be living for God in a wicked world. And he said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, I'm going to turn my phone off here. I heard somebody else is beeping and you reminded me. All right. But I want us to look at this today. Paul exhorted the men, the leaders at home, to be the example they ought to be for family, for the Lord, wherever they work, whatever they do, to be a right example and to teach others to do the same thing. Now he's speaking to the ladies. And ladies, Paul is writing to you just like he wrote to the men because this applies to every born-again child of God. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you sound like. It doesn't matter where you live. Listen, each of us need to be living a godly lifestyle. We need to live godly today. Paul writes to these spiritually mature women after he addressed those spiritually mature men, and he instructs them. And he says, the aged women, likewise, the same thing that I told the men, ladies, you need to be doing the same thing, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, I want you to look at the first thing. I want you to look at this morning. The first thing he tells them is that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Meaning, even as those aged men, even as those men had been saved a good while, were to live for God in holiness and have a lifestyle that was appropriate as a Christian ought to have. These ladies were to live the same way. And you know, service unto the Lord, when we serve the Lord, it involves behavior, does it not? It involves behavior. And every believer is exhorted to live a holy life for God. Now, that doesn't mean we're in here trying to act better than somebody else. Listen, were it not for the grace of God, you and I could be in a mess today. Our lives would be a terrible fix today, were it not for the grace of God. But you know, I remember what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, where he begged the people. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When I got married, I always use this example with folks, but when I got married, my reasonable service, okay, my reasonable service, I say it again. My reasonable service was to be faithful to my wife. Why? Because I love her. Okay? Just because I was married didn't mean I could go and try to find a date with somebody else. She wouldn't think that would be very good. And my wife is too good of a marksman with her Smith & Wesson and with her little Ruger. That would not be wise. Okay? It would not be wise. But here's the thing, folks. We're to do that which is holy and acceptable unto God. Our lifestyle needs to be holy and acceptable unto the one who has saved us. We're not here to please the world. We're not here to please people around us. Listen, if I try to please every person, I'm going to drive myself crazy and they'll lock me up somewhere. They'll put one of those straitjackets, wraps my arms all the way around my back, and all I do is scratch my back all day. Listen, I could not do that. I have one to please, and that's my Lord. I remember when I was praying for a Christian girlfriend. I had not been saved very long. And I was about 16, and I had seen what bad families brought up. I lived in that. But you know what? I prayed for a Christian girlfriend. Say, did you pray for a pretty one? Well, that was on the list too, but the one that I wanted was one that wouldn't just say, I love you. But I wanted one that would say, I love God. Because if I could find a young lady that would love God, then she would love me. I was adorable. She would love me, okay? I grew out of that stage, okay? But I've grown quite a bit since I got married, amen. But listen, I want you to understand something today. What we do for God and how we serve Him and what we do in this life, whether it be in private life, public life, in service, in work, whatever we do, we ought to do it because we love the Lord. And we're trying to let Him know, God, I want to please You above all things. When it's all said and done, we need to be willing to please God, because that's the winning side. Listen, the world today thinks they've got the tiger by the tail, don't they? Boy, they think they've got everything all figured out, and they don't even know the question. Listen today, serve God. These aged women were not to be like those silly women laden with sins that we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, you watch these folks. He said, you help them to know the right way to live. And Paul taught them here that that life that demonstrated holiness to God, it would be one that would show that they were not false accusers. Okay? You know the three methods of communication today. It's been proven through history. The telegraph, the telephone, and the telewoman. Okay? All right? All of those things. I think maybe Brother Paul was writing about that. But you know, we say that as a joke. But ladies, there's a lot of truth to that. Hey, there's a lot of truth about the men too. You can tell one man one thing, and buddy, pretty soon it'll be a tale. And listen, we don't need to be that way. We're not to be false accusers. We're not to be given to backbiting and malicious gossip or any sort of slander and vain conversation. That is not what exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be that way. He exhorts these aged women to be not given to much wine, which would enslave and addict them. Okay? I know folks that say, well, I just drink socially. No one ever became a drunkard or an alcoholic without taking the first drink. And you can call it social, you can call it whatever. I remember when I was having some kidney issues, and my doctor down in North Carolina, he said, what you need to do is take a little sip of this stuff, and he named it and gave me a list of alcoholic beverages that I could drink that would help my kidney situation, okay? He said, you drink this once a day and at night. And I said, Doc, I'll just be honest with you right now. I would rather hurt and take the medicine than to drink this stuff and cause my testimony to be ruined for God. I'm not going to do it. And you know what, folks? Listen, everybody thinks today that it's so cool. You look at all the beer and liquor commercials you see on TV. And it pays for so many today in workplaces and offices and things like that. Businesses thrive on this stuff. They thrive on it. But listen to me, there is nothing good that ever comes out of drinking. Nothing. I know there are churches today that say there's nothing wrong with that. At all. There are churches today that say, well, we have to go to the liquor store to buy wine for our communion services. You listen to me, and I'm going to tell you something today, and I want you to understand me. Hear me well. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless blood. It was not contaminated with sin. Okay? His blood was from God the Father. The Holy Spirit of God, that seed was conceived within the womb of a young lady, a virgin girl named Mary. And you know what? That seed was planted there by the Holy Spirit of God. If it was not perfect, sinless blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary, then you and I would have no hope of salvation today. He would have been just like any other man dying on a cross. But his blood was spotless blood, blemishless blood. And if you'll read in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of the Gospels, where Jesus is in the upper room with those 12 disciples. One was a devil, and he left. And when Jesus talks to them, the cup that he passes around, he describes it as the fruit of the vine. Fresh grape juice. That's what represented his blood. He said, this cup represents my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He never gave the okay for anybody to drink wine. He never gave the disciples any approval to drink this mess, because he taught in the Word of God that it was wrong. And folks, anybody that teaches anything different, you need to go back to the Word of God and show them that this is not what God said. It's not what God said. His blood, this wine stuff, does not represent the spotless, precious, holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washes away sin. It does not represent that. And this stuff that they've got today, you know, it's gone through all kinds of processes. It makes your mind crazy. It makes you do bad things. Listen, you want to see some bad things? You run a bus route. And you go around into some of these homes and pick up boys and girls that are having to come out on a Sunday morning without shoes, without coats, without anything on. They can't find anything in their house. There's no mama or daddy there available, okay, to get their children dressed to bring them to church. Why? Because they're drunk laying in the floor or laying out in the yard somewhere where they partied all night drinking this garbage. These ball players that stand up and hold up their bottle of whatever it is and say, boy, this is good stuff. They're not allowed to even drink it on the ball field. Why? Because it does harm to their bodies. And folks, listen, we are not to harm our bodies. This is the temple of the Lord. We're not to do that. We're not to do it. And Paul reminded these ladies, listen, when you're having your little gossip parties and all these things, don't be sitting around like these housewives of New Orleans or whatever they are on TV today just drinking and carrying on and doing all those bad things. That is not the way we're to live. Now, I don't mean to be mean sounding, but I'm just telling you truth, okay? And it's like Mary Poppins said, take a spoonful of sugar and it'll help the medicine go down. Amen? All right? So I'm just trying to tell you truth. People do not want to hear truth today. They don't want to hear truth. We see that in our political world. Do you folks find that true? Nobody wants truth. They want what pleases flesh. They want what pleases and tickles their ears. Listen, the Bible said that when those days come like that, you know that the coming of the Lord is not very far away. Listen, we're seeing it in our world today. These aged women were to be examples to the other younger ladies. And you know what? We need some examples in our world today. It needs to start at home. We need some godly fathers to set the example for their sons. We need some godly mothers that will set the example for their daughters to teach them how to love their husband and to love their children. To love their children. Listen, you don't send them out in the world without loving them. You love them. I don't know how else to say it, folks. God has a right way and the world has a wrong way. And we are so prone to follow the wrong way because it looks so appealing on TV. And everybody else is doing it. Listen, we need to stand up and just do what's right. He tells us here why we need to do this also. And I want you to look at it here in verse number 3. He said, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. Listen to me today. We need to be teaching some good things in life today. Our world today is teaching how to get away with sin. Okay? If you go out and do things wrong, then here's how you get out of it. Here's how you get away from the consequences of sin. Listen, one day there are going to be consequences for sin. You think you can go out and plant your wild oats, and you think you can go out and sow your wild, crazy seed. But whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And I don't know sometimes how long it takes for it to come up, but it will come up. And we need to be careful with it. Listen, the Bible talks about it here. He exhorted these dear ladies to be teachers of good things. And then these aged women who knew and loved the Lord were to help teach the younger women. Look at this. Why did they do this? So that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This was true in Paul's day, and ladies, You know what? It's true in our day today. We need some folks to stand up and just say, I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love my husband. Ladies, say that. I'm going to love my husband. Your husband. Not somebody else's husband. Okay? If you watch those soap operas, I never will forget my mom watching these soap operas all the time. And Tom loved Sally, but Sally loved Joe. And Joe was married to Isabel or whoever. I mean, it would keep you so confused. It's like a termite in a yo-yo. It was just awful. Ladies, when God created you to be the completer for that man that he gives unto you. And ladies, let me say this. You are either your husband's completer or you are his finisher. You are either his completer or you are his finisher. I thank God for my wife. I really do. She's in here typing up the prayer list this morning. She went out and got the donuts for us. She and Trish went out and got the donuts for us this morning. And they didn't eat one before they got here. God's good. Listen, but I thank the Lord every day for my wife. I really do. I thank God for her. Listen, you know what? Because she lets folks know she belongs to me and I belong to her. Listen, she loves me. She helped us with our children, okay? She raised our children. She helped us do that. She's my completer. She's my right hand on a lot of things. When we go visiting, things like that, and I need somebody to go visit with me, a lady or something, I can't go and visit by myself, she's willing to do that. She's willing to be there to help me with those things. She would help me on my bus route down in North Carolina. And our kids, they helped us on the bus route. They would go with me to the rest home and the nursing homes. They were my completer. She was my completer. And I'm thankful for that today. You know what? Not everybody can say that. Because they have left the job of being a completer as unto the Lord. And they have made themselves to be a finisher. All griping, all complaining, fussing all the time. There's a saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Okay? It's a true thing. Listen, the husband is the head of the home, even as Christ is the head of the church. But now you listen to me, ladies. I say this because I want you to understand something. You are the heart of that home. You're the one that sets the pace in so many situations. You're the heart of that home. You're the compassionate part of that home. Okay? And you complete your home. You need to be there to love those kids. Let them know that you love them. When we had bus kids coming over to our house all the time because they didn't have a mama at home, didn't know who their daddy was. We had kids in a family. I think we had 6 kids in that family. And every one of them had a different dad that never came around to see them. And listen, that mom was having to work constantly, all the time. All the time. And I'm talking about little kids. And they would come out and get on that Sunday school bus and come to church. And they would come over to our house. And I never will forget them looking at my children. And when I told them that Mrs. Shutt and I were married, they said, yeah, we know you live together. And I said, we live together because we're married. You're really married? Your kids. Are you really their daddy? Yeah, I'm really their daddy. Listen to me today, folks. The world is not seeing a lot of this anymore. And the devil is trying to do all he can do to destroy the foundations. And the foundation is the family. A husband loving his wife and protecting her, protecting, providing for his family. That wife, in turn, loving her husband, loving her children, and trying to make their home a place that they can call home. It's not just a place where somebody comes. It's a home. And folks, there's a difference today. And the sad thing that we see today so much in our world, we've gotten so far away from God. We've taken the Bible out of school. We've taken prayer out. You can't mention the name of Jesus. You can't pray and mention the name of Jesus. And yet they wonder, what's the problem? They keep throwing money at it, And money is not the answer, folks. What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. They need a relationship personally with God. And folks, it starts at home. The husband is the head of that home. He is to lead, encourage, and strengthen his family. The wife is to be there. She's to complete that husband and to help him and to raise those children, to love them, to be a keeper at home. And listen to what else he said. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what? There are many people today that call themselves Christians, and they do not live for Christ. They're not living for God. Everybody, listen, the devil believes in God and he trembles, the Bible said. But he's sure not going to be in heaven one day, is he? And there are many people today that name the name of Christ, but they blaspheme him in the way that they do things, their actions, their deeds, the way that they do. And all Paul is trying to help these folks to know and understand is that is not a godly lifestyle. That's not the way we're to live. We're to live for God. Everything belongs to him. The song we sang today, all to Jesus I surrender. It's not up to us. We're to live for him. These aged women were to be able to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, not abort them, okay? And let me say that again. Abortion is murder. It's just out and out murder. And especially this crowd in our government today that wants to make it legal that if you don't like it, then you can kill it. Let it die after it's born. Or if the abortion doesn't work, just let it lay there and die. And not changing. Folks, listen to me. That is a life. If you can protect an eagle's egg, you ought to be able to keep and protect a human life within the womb. The world does what they want to do today. We don't need to abort them. We don't need to abuse them. We don't need to leave them with anybody and everybody else just because we don't have time for them. We need time away. We're to love our children. Listen, every morning our daughter calls our house. And when we answer the phone, if Mrs. Shutt answers the phone, Sophia will say in the background, you hear her back in her little car seat, "Hey, Grandma." And Lisa will say, "Hey, Sophia, how are you today? Where's Grandpa?" And I'll say, "Here I am. Hey, Grandpa, what you doing today?" Man, I just love it. Now, we're 400 and some miles away. But you know what? I long to hear that little voice. How in the world could I ever choose to kill, willingly murder a child like that? But that's exactly what's going on in our world today. And they think it's the norm. We're to teach them to love their children. Then he goes, verse number 6, he goes to the young men. He goes right back to the men. He first talked to the older men. Now he's talking to the younger men. And listen to what he said. Teach the young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 just a minute. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy as the pastor of a church. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1, he said this. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." Those things, he said, that I've taught you, you've heard me teach them to you among many witnesses. He said, "The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Young men, don't quit when the going gets tough. Don't quit when the children cry at night. Don't quit when the well goes dry and the electricity is out. You don't quit. You keep on serving God. Amen. You keep on being faithful for God. You don't quit. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen to me today, folks. God has chosen to love you and me. And when we got saved and we trusted Christ as our Savior, we became members of the army of God. We're in the Lord's army now. We're not serving the devil anymore. I don't serve that taskmaster anymore. We're serving the Lord. And he said, listen, if you want to be found faithful for God, then don't get yourself entangled with the things of this world. Why? Because the things of this world will distract you. They'll get your attention away from living for God. They'll take your attention away from living to take care of your family. They'll center your life and your living on pleasing self. And that's all that matters. And folks, it shouldn't be that way. Look at what else he said. He said, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. That means it's never right to do wrong in order to get an opportunity to do something right. You don't do wrong and try to justify what you do. That's not the way it ought to be. And look what else he said. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Here in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he said, in all things, young men, showing thyself, a pattern of good works. You know what a pattern is? When my wife was sewing and making clothes and dresses and things like that for our children, she would buy a pattern. It was an example to follow. Now, she could take that pattern, it had different things on it, so you could make things different sizes. It was the same design, same style, but you could make it different sizes. And she would pin that pattern to the cloth, and then she'd cut around it with those pinking shears, and then she'd sew it together and things like that. And listen, you followed the pattern that was given to you. What Paul is telling him here, you aged men, you exhort the younger men and help remind them that they are living a lifestyle that is a pattern for someone. They're a pattern for someone. Listen, Dad, do you want your children living like you live today? Well, you should if you're living for Christ. You should want them living just like you would live for Christ. But you know what? There are many today that say, wow, I'd have to think about that for a little while. Well, maybe we need to go back and get self right and get things right here so that we can be a teacher to others. These young men, well, they're going to be growing up. They're going to become fathers one day. And listen, they need some guides to follow so that they know what to do that is right. That's where our world is lacking today. Man, we need some good, godly father, male, just men to be men leadership in our world today. We need that today. Our world needs it today. We got too many women trying to be the bosses. And listen, we've seen what happened with that in the Garden of Eden, okay? We saw that. We saw a woman that was deceived by somebody that told a lie. And we saw a man that was with her that did not stand up and say, honey, no. God said no. We're not going to do that. Adam didn't do that. Adam chose to disobey God. And guess what? Because of that, each one of us have been born with that sin nature that we have today. Listen, we need some good young men to stand up and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to be ashamed. Look what he said in verses 7 and 8. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Do you see the reason that the Holy Spirit of God had Paul give these instructions to those who were older and wiser in the things of God? Do you see why he did that? It was for the sake of others. It was for the sake of the next generation. It was for the sake of those that were growing up in a wicked, wicked world, so that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then look at verses 9 and 10. Paul reminds them here, listen, it's for the aged men, it's for the aged women, it's for the younger women, it's for the young men, but it's also for servants, for servants. Now we can relate this today to people that are working, those in the working world, if you can find them, okay? If you can find somebody that's willing to work today, and I mean work, not just go and sit and say, I deserve a paycheck. I'm talking about somebody that's willing to do the work that needs to be done. Boy, we're seeing that less and less today. Look what he said in verses 9 and 10. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Christian servanthood is an honor. It's a privilege to display in any type of service or work that we do. I remember working there at Industries for the Blind. I worked there for 16 years. And I went in making $2.76 an hour because I was experienced, okay, as a production control clerk. You say, well, what was that? It was whatever the boss said do. I unloaded boxcars. I loaded boxcars. You want to do something hard? Load a military boxcar when it's 90 outside and it's 130 inside, and do it with blind people. Do it with blind people. We had to do the work so that it was safe for them, but we had to still get the job done. And I worked up through management all the way up to when I left there to go full-time ministry for the Lord. I was vice president of operations, okay, of the company. And listen to me today. I tried to do everything I could do to give God the glory. We had people that called me from our division out in Earth City, Missouri. And he said, listen, we will pay you whatever you want if you'll just stay with us. You've got good relationships with DPSC in Philadelphia and with GSA in Atlanta and with all the other places. You've got a good testimony with those folks. They can trust you. We'll pay you to stay. And I told him, I said, I can't do that. What, is it a money issue? I said, it's not a money issue because I'm not leaving to make money. I'm making a whole lot less money serving the Lord than I ever could be here at this company. I said, but I've got a higher calling, and I've got to do what God said do. And I never will forget Mr. Graves telling me, he said, if you ever need anything, all you got to do is call me. And listen to me today. I wanted to have a good testimony. And folks, today, as we work in the public sector, in the political world, we need to have a good testimony. Man, we need to have a testimony that people can say, you know what? I can believe them. I can trust them to do what's right. It's gotten in our world today. It seems like you can't trust anybody to be right. And sad today, you see that in churches today, in the religious world today. You see that same bad testimony. And folks, it shouldn't be that way. If we name the name of Christ, we're living for Him today, not self. And these servants were to be obedient to their own masters. Look what he said. Number one, be obedient. Whether you're obeying the Lord or you're obeying your boss, be obedient. Do that which is right. Please your master well. Look what he said. Please them well in all things. Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament scriptures? Joseph pleased Potiphar. He did that which was right. And Potiphar knew the testimony that Joseph had for God and said, Joseph, your God blesses you in all that you do. You know what? That's what we need in our working world today. Thank God for companies like Chick-fil-A that outdo the business of Burger King, McDonald's, and all these other folks who work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these folks work 6 days a week, give God the honor on Sunday of calling it the Lord's Day, and they still do all the... You can't hardly get in down there to get a biscuit in the morning. I've tried. I got the app now. I just order it, pull up outside, and wait for them to bring it to me. I'm not going in that line. But you know what? When I go in there, they're busy. And God is blessing them because they've taken a stand. God has blessed this church in 54 years because this church has taken a stand. Not to go out and try to grow a big mega church and bring in the rock bands and all this other garbage to attract people. What have we done? We've tried to go out and preach the gospel. Tell folks how to get to heaven. And it's like Pastor says, if you'll tell folks how to get to heaven, God will tell folks how to get to your church. And God has done the work. Servants were to not talk back or show disrespect, not purloining. In other words, don't appropriate wrongfully or often do something by a breach of trust. You're not supposed to do that. And that leads us to our last thing here. The reasons for godly behavior. We avoid desecrating. Look what he said. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. That's what he's saying. Listen, if folks know you to be a child of God, then be a child of God. Not in name only, but because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus who dwells within your heart. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says this, and I'm going to close. He said, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. How precious is Jesus to you today? How precious is your testimony for the Lord today? I hope that you'll stay close to God and you'll choose to do what he says do above what men say do. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love you, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I know that sometimes folks come back and they say, boy, Pastor, you are rough this morning. But God, I'm trying to give truth. Lord, if there's anything that we need in this world today, it's truth. And folks need to know what God says. One day, each of us are going to have to stand and give account unto you. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to stand and be faithful to help our people to learn to love you with all their heart, all their soul, with all their mind, whether they work at home or they work in the public place. God, help us to have a good testimony for you. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Love you this morning. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school.